Yeah, you're right. No, I did promise to tell you about the unpardonable sin. Yeah, I did that last weekend. I wanted to lead with that yesterday, but I forgot. I forgot, but I'm going to do it now. We're going to go to Matthew and the unpardonable sin. That's right. Sorry about that. Hope you didn't lose any sleep over it. I didn't. Sorry. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and we're closing in on Hebrews 11. We're sneaking up on that chapter, but first we're going to finish chapter 10, and I told you that the Hebrews were deserving of worse punishment than those who repudiated Moses, because they suppose that he will be counted worthy who tramples on the Son of God. Well, that's simply not the case. You will not be counted worthy if you trample the Son of God and deem the blood of the covenant by which he is hallowed contaminating, outrages the spirit of grace. That would be a ridiculous thing to do, and yet the Hebrews, being ridiculous, did it. So now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 12. Now, when I'm teaching on the unpardonable sin here, that's a mistranslation. There's no sin that's unpardonable because Jesus Christ came to take away the sin of the world. So what's the deal? Some people think the unpardonable sin is suicide. Well, they're making that one up. I guess they have no problem. They make up other stuff. Eternal torment's made up. Free will's made up. The Trinity's made up. Why not make up more things? Age of accountability, made up. The unpardonable sin, made up. It's all made up. People just assume this stuff's true. God helps those who help themselves. What verse is that? Oh, that's made up too. So you can see that over the years we have been guilty of, you know, getting mail order doctrines here. We just believe them because people who tell us that their authorities tell us that they're truth is truth, when in fact it's lies. The world is contaminated by lies right now. This is one of the most lying eras ever. You really got to be on your toes. Some people don't care. They just go with the flow. Tell me a lie. I'll pour me a drink and I'll tell you a lie. Neil Diamond, right? Just pour me a drink and I'll tell you a lie. Yesterday's gone, and all I want is a smile. Yeah, what's that? Love on the rocks, ain't no big surprise. That's it. Pour me a drink, and I'll tell you some lies. In other words, I'll take you to church. Pour me... Wait a minute. Love on the rocks, we're in the lurch. Pour me a drink, and I'll take you to church. It would require a drink for me to go to church with you. So, yeah, the love of people is on the rocks for God because they think God's a nut job because of the Christian religion. So I'm in Matthew chapter 12. I want to take a little bit of this. You're going to go, Zender, you're just stalling because you don't want to start the Revelation series. That is not true. That's a lie. Are you going to pour me a drink and tell me that one? All right. Now, I'm looking forward to the Revelation series, but I am taking care of the details here. Did you read my newsletter last Saturday? Yeah, most of you read it. Well, I hope all of you read it, but I talked about how I don't cut corners. When I used to run and train for marathons, I would never, when I came to a sidewalk and it was easy to just take a little cut, I would just ridiculously go to the edge of the sidewalk and around. It's like I was so careful. Here's the crazy thing. I bicycled across the country twice. People say, did you hitch a ride? Did you cheat? Why would I go to all the trouble of flying my bicycle, one-way ticket to Los Angeles, spend 46 days in 1980 bicycling across the country from sea to shining sea, literally dipped my back wheel in the Pacific Ocean and at Laguna Beach and my front wheel in the Atlantic Ocean in Boston Harbor? Why would I cheat? That's my question. So I'm going to thoroughly fulfill my role here and bring you all of Hebrews. You're going to know Hebrews when we're done. You are going to know Hebrews. Just like when I'm done with my Romans series, you're going to know Romans, my newsletter, the ZWTF. If you don't know about that, go to my website, look up the ZWTF archives. If you have not signed up on my website to get all this wondrous stuff, you need to go there. I'm almost done typesetting how to quit church. I worked 10 hours on it today, like 14 hours yesterday. I'm really putting in overtime for this because I love it. I love it. So, verse 31, Matthew 12. Therefore, I am saying to you, Jesus speaking, every sin and blasphemy shall be pardoned humans, yet the blasphemy of the Spirit shall not be pardoned. Now, listen to this. It won't be pardoned for a period of time. You say, Zender, you're adding to the scripture. No, just says it won't be pardoned, doesn't say it never will be. You got to keep reading here. Verse 32, and whoever may be saying a word against the Son of Mankind, it will be pardoned him. All right, so you're saying a word against Jesus Christ. He's the Son of Mankind. That's going to be pardon you. Yet whoever may be saying aught against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be pardoned him. Neither in this eon nor in that which is impending. That's the fine print, but it's not fine. It's right there in the context. So, a blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be pardoned. What is that? He says it right in the context. Well, he doesn't say what it is, but he says the duration of it. Anything you may be saying against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be pardoned him or her, neither in this eon nor in that which is impending. Neither in this eon nor the coming eon. But there's an eon after that. That's the tricky part nobody knows. And King James might say, in this world or the world to come. So you think, well, that covers everything, this world and the world to come. No, that's another lie. That doesn't cover everything because the word world, which is based on the Greek word cosmos, is not here. It's the Greek word ion, translated eon, this eon and the next eon. So I'm going to tell you what this means here. Well, let's look at a parallel passage first. Let's go to Mark 3, verse 28. Verily, I'm saying to you that all shall be pardoned the sons of mankind, the penalties of the sins and the blasphemies, whatsoever they should be blaspheming. Yet whoever should be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is having no pardon for the eon, but is liable to the aeonian penalty for the sin, for they said an unclean spirit has he. And that last part there, for they said an unclean spirit has he, that's why he's giving this truth. The blasphemy against the Son of Man is still going to be forgiven, and we see that on the cross. The quote ends with Jesus saying, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit is having no pardon for the aeon, but is liable to the aeonian penalty for the sin, unquote. Unquote, for they said an unclean spirit has he. That's what they said about him. So that provoked him then to give this truth that them saying that he had an unclean spirit was going to be forgiven them. And he's telling them what will be forgiven, namely, you have a demon, they said to him, and somewhere they said that. But what won't be forgiven is the testimony of the Spirit. And that happened at Pentecost. So Jesus on the cross said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. That is where Matthew 12, 31 was fulfilled. Every sin and blasphemy shall be pardoned. Any word against the Son of Mankind, it will be pardoned, verse 32. So he did that because they didn't know what they were doing. So apparently after he died and rose, then apparently they would have a better idea what they were doing. And so they got another chance, you know, a chance. They got a chance, and he gave them a second chance, if you will. And they blew it completely. They rejected the testimony of the Holy Spirit, and down they went. So that sin won't be forgiven in this eon or in that which is impending. That is, the 1,000-year kingdom is the impending eon, and they're going to miss it. Those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit, this goes back to Hebrews 10, they're going to miss it because it's not going to be repeated. So that's the aeonian penalty for sin, and you today cannot commit it. That's the beautiful thing. You cannot commit the so-called unpardonable sin. It's not unpardonable. It won't be pardoned until it is. It won't be pardoned until the second eon's done. Then these Jews are going to stand at the great white throne. Things are going to be made right. Jesus' words are going to be true to the letter. It won't be pardoned neither in this eon nor in that which is impending. Well, what about the next one? Exactly. Great question. I'm always asking that. What does God do next? Martin, everybody's going to be at the great white throne is the second death. Okay, yeah, that's true. What happens next? What do you mean what happens next? Oh, the second death isn't eternal. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. God abolishes death. Good grief. Did you know anything? 1 Corinthians 15:26, the most basic truth of the scripture. You don't know that? Oh my gosh, that's basic. Death is going to be abolished. This is not techno truth. This is simple stuff. The abolition of death. That's a verse in 2 Timothy 2, who abolishes death. I think it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Read the whole book, you'll find it. God abolishes death. That's simple. He's going to do away with death because he rose and he conquered death. How does he conquer death if death is eternal? You don't know the answer to that one, do you? No. Okay. You do. My audience. No. You know the answer to that. He can't abolish death unless he abolishes death. People say Jesus abolishes death, and then they deny that he abolishes death. That's insane. All right. I want to go on in verse 33 of Matthew, because a lot of this stuff in Matthew is juicy. I think I'll do a series on Matthew before I get to Revelation. Just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. I'd get the hate mail. I wouldn't get hate mail. I'd get dislike mail. Progeny of vipers. I love that. 34. Progeny of vipers. Offspring of snakes. That's what he called him. How can you be speaking what is good being wicked? And that's so true. And to me, these pastors in the church and the priests, they're all wicked. And how could they speak what is true? If they're not speaking what is true, they're wicked. They're pretending to be. Well, they're not purposely pretending. Look, these deceivers don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to deceive today. A wolf in sheep's clothing is that, whether it knows it is or not. So that I know they don't mean to be deceivers, yet they are deceiving. They are deceivers by the very nature of their deceit. How can you be speaking what is good being wicked? And being wicked, how can you be speaking what is good? You can't. You're calling evil good. Eternal torment's good. Death is going to hang around forever. That's good. No, that's wicked. Therefore, you're wicked. You might be a nice person. I understand that, but you're wicked. You're uttering wicked things. For out of the superabundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. I've been saying this. We're supposed to gather with those who worship God out of a pure heart, a clean heart. How clean is a heart that spews the wickedness of eternal torment? It's a reflection of the heart. People who believe this thing, they really, deep down, love it. They say they don't. We wish it wasn't true. No, you don't, because I tell you why it's not true, and you still believe it. We wish it wasn't true. Yes, you do. Quit pretending you wish it wasn't true because you look sideways, stand on your head, anything to keep from seeing what I and other people are telling you. Many smart people have written many smart books about the word ion, about the many verses that teach the salvation of all, Colossians 1:20, Romans 11:36, Romans 11:32, Romans 5:17, Romans 5:18 and 19, Philippians 2:10, 1 Timothy 4:10, 1 Timothy 2:6, 1 Corinthians 15:22, Ephesians 1:10. Other than those, I don't know of any that teach the salvation of all. All right, no, what? Yes, yeah, it is. My time's up. Sorry. I'm sorry about that. But I'm going to expand here the unforgivable sin to tomorrow, I think, and then we're going to get back to and close up. There's some good stuff at the end of Hebrews, so don't think I'm going to just hop, skip, and jump through the end of Hebrews and rush through this. We got some good stuff here. You are going to know Hebrews by the time I'm finished. That's my job. That's my duty, and I am not slack concerning my promises.